Now in our Bible study, we have reached the 12th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. If you have just tuned in and are not a regular listener to this program, we tell you that we've been going through a systematic study of this epistle. We have now reached chapter 12, and I want to read the first three verses of this chapter, Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. So I remind you that here today we are considering the Christian race. Now, you might say this, that when you come to chapter 12, you're dealing with what one might term hope, the great incentive in the Christian life. And here in the opening three verses, we're dealing with the Christian race. Now, this is a figure which is used in a number of places in the New Testament. The great Apostle Paul used this idea when he was writing his final letter to young Timothy. And when he comes to the end, more or less, he tells Timothy this, that he himself has been running and that he has gone through the Christian life, and he likens it to three different things. And he said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. So he looks upon the Christian life as being a fight to be fought. He says, I have finished my course, suggesting that he thought of it as a race to be run, and I have kept the faith. It was a treasure to be kept. But now it's that central thought there, I have finished my course. He seems to be telling us there that he looked upon his Christian life as a race to be run, and he has kept going right on, and now he has completed the course. Likewise, when he was writing his letter to the Philippians, he mentioned there, again, the idea of a race. And he says, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So the thought is there, he's pressing on in the race. I just mentioned these scriptures to you to let you see that this is a common figure that is used in the New Testament to set before us the Christian life. It is likened to a race. And so we have the Christian race set before us here in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. So that with the Christian life of faith likened unto a race, we're going to take note of five or six ideas associated with the race. First of all, I suggest to you it is a public life. A race is observed by the spectators and the judges who pass the verdict. All the cloud of witnesses in chapter 11 were people who lived public lives. Now, we have gone through chapter 11 And we have been thinking of these people who had lived their life on the principle of faith right from the very start. Away back in the days before the flood, men lived their lives on the principle of faith. And then Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, men who lived in the patriarchal days, lived their lives on the principle of faith. Then you had Moses and Joshua, and then you came on through the prophets and others who lived their lives, each generation, so to speak, one generation succeeding another. They learned how to live their lives on the principle of faith. These people lived public lives, and so therefore, when we think of it, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So the Christian life, my friend, is a public life. It's not something that we live in seclusion. We don't go in behind high walls and hide ourselves from the eyes of others. It's a matter of living our lives in public before other people. Like the man that's running the race, people are looking on, people are watching. But then it's a purchased life. In order to run the race, every hindrance must be set aside, and the sin, and you remember, we have been pointing out that the great sin that's mentioned in the Epistle to the Hebrews is the sin of unbelief, the sin which doth hold us back, that sin which doth so easily beset us, that which holds us back, must be forsaken. And so therefore I suggest to you again, it is a purchased life. Now, I don't know if all my listeners take an interest in these things or not, but I think most of you will be aware of the fact that these young people who have set their sights, as it were, on taking part in the Olympics, they've got to prepare for it for a long time. Some of them train for days on end, yea, for years on end. And every day of their training, they'll put in so many hours. And during their hour of training, they make great sacrifices. In plain words, anything that is going to hinder them during their training, anything that would prevent them from becoming champions, these things must be forsaken. There are some things that would be perhaps quite in order for them to do, but because they are training for their great race, they've got to lay those things aside. In plain words, it's a purchased life. There's a price to be paid. Now, if people are going to pay a price in order to train and practice, in order to go in as champions, I ask you, is it asking too much when we've to lay aside the things that would hinder us in our Christian life? The possibility is that we've never taken time to consider the things that would hold us back in our Christian life. So I suggest to you that to run the Christian race, to run in a Christian life, and to live a life for God, there's a price to be paid. And so he said, you have to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now, I might say this. There are some things that might be a weight or a hindrance to one Christian that may not prove to be a hindrance to another Christian. But there are other things that would be a hindrance to all of us. You should be able to arrive at a conclusion of matters regarding yourself what is the thing that's preventing you from living the Christian life that you would like to live? Now, if you know what it is, then you've got to lay that thing aside. You've got to forsake that thing if your life for Christ is to be a success. And so remember then, the Christian life set before us as a Christian race is a public life. We're living it before others. It's also a purchased life in the sense that we've got to be prepared to make the necessary sacrifices to be a success in our Christian testimony. But there's a third thing that comes before us here as we think of the Christian life as the running of a race. It is a progressive life. A person in a race does not stand still or spend time examining the spectators. He simply presses on till he reaches the finishing line. It's progressive. Sometimes people run faster than others, but the fact of the matter is, if they're all in the race, they will all be making progress. Now, that being so, I suggest now that just as a businessman takes inventory at the end of each year, just to see if he has made any progress in business, so we as Christians should from time to time take inventory of our Christian life to see if we have made any progress. You know, parents are always interested in their children, at least most parents are, interested to see if they're making progress. After the little one is born, the parents are anxious to know if he or she is growing, if the baby is putting on weight. In plain words, is the baby making progress? Then after the day comes for the little one to go to school, parents usually take some interest in the schooling. And are they making progress? Will they be able to graduate at the end of the year and go into a higher grade? And so year by year, the parents take note of this and they think of the progress that their child is making. Now, if that is so in the secular world and in the educational world, may I ask this? Do we take time to consider the fact that in the spiritual life we should be making progress? When we become Christians, it is presented to us in the Bible as being born into God's family, being born from above, being born again. So you come in as a new member of the spiritual family. But then, what progress have you made since you trusted Christ? Are you exercising yourself correctly in spiritual things? A baby has got to be fed. And so a spiritual babe has got to be given spiritual food. Are you taking your daily food of the Word of God? A baby has got to be given a little bit of exercise, and the baby must get good fresh air. Are you living in the fresh air of the prayer room? Are you exercising yourself in prayer? I may ask you this, and I ask myself this. If we're in the Christian race, what progress have we made during the last year? So the Christian race, I suggest, is a public life. It's a purchased life. Certain sacrifices must be made. It's a progressive life. We should not be standing still, and we certainly should not be sliding back, but we should be going on, reaching out towards the finishing line. There's another thought when you think of a race. A race is something that's prescribed for us, and the Christian life as a race is a prescribed life. A person in a race must stay in the prescribed area. The runner cannot run just where he pleases. He must keep within his line. He must keep to the course, and he must not break the rules. If you break the rules, then of course you are disqualified. And on the other hand, if you go off the course, you'll never win. So therefore, it is a prescribed life. The Christian race is set before us as a prescribed course, and we must run according to the rules. What he says here is this, that we've got to run with patience, laying aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The course is before us, and we've got to run that course according to the rules. It seems to me that a great number of people who profess to be Christians in these days are not prepared to run according to the rules. They want to change the rules to fit in with their ideas. Now, if you are going to run in any race and you're going to compete in any games, you must run or play according to the rules. And you're not allowed to make the rules for yourself. The rules are all set beforehand, and the judge or judges are there in order to see the rules are carried out. Likewise, I suggest to you that in the Christian life, the rules are set out. And if you want to know where you can find your rule book, you'll find it in what we call the Bible. Too many people these days want to change the Bible. There are certain words in the Bible that they don't like, so they feel that they could put a better word in. Plain words, they don't like God's language. They would prefer their own language. My friend, you're playing fast and loose with serious things when you try to alter God's rules. There are certain things said in the Bible that they don't like. And so they say, oh, and that was only Paul who said that. No, my friend, if it's in the Word of God, holy men wrote as they were moved by the Spirit of God. It was God who gave the rules. And when you read the Bible, be prepared to bow to the rules of God's book. This is the rule book. And if you're going to run the race with patience, you have to run the race that is set before you and run it according to the divine rules. It is a prescribed life. Otherwise, you'll be disqualified. Now then, the next thing I want you to note is this. It is a persevering life. The Christian race is not a short dash, but it's a long distance marathon and calls for patience and endurance. Notice what he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, sometimes it's amazing to watch people in what they call the dash. It may be 60 yards. It may be 75 yards. It may even be 80 yards. Perhaps the longest dash is approximately about 100 yards. They call it a dash or a sprint. And when they leave, at the crack of the pistol, they put all they've got into that dash in order to reach the winning post. But the Christian life isn't like that. The Christian life is an endurance test. We've got to have patience, run with patience. That is, run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, may I ask you, my friend, have you ever grown weary in the race? Have you wondered if you're going to be able to finish? Now, I know a lot of people who get weary in the race, but remember, this is to be a race in which you persevere. I do believe in the perseverance of those that trust the Savior. I also believe in the preservation of those that trust the Savior. That is, I know those that are in the Savior's hand will be preserved. But there's this other side of the coin. When it comes to the Christian life, we've got to be prepared to persevere. But the next thing I want you to note is this. It is a patterned life. The great pattern to whom we look is Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Consider him who commenced, who continued, and completed the course that was set before him, and now, as our perfect example, is seated at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. He is our perfect pattern. Keep your eye on him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Now, I remember reading some time ago a rather interesting illustration. A professor, a teacher of art, gave his class a job to do. Their assignment was to paint a picture, and one of the students brought his finished article, presented it to his teacher. He looked at the painting and he looked at the student and he said, "This, my boy, is a copy. You copied this from someone else's picture." "Yes," said the student, "that's perfectly true. I copied it from another picture." "But," said his teacher, "the unfortunate thing is this, that in copying another man's art, you've also copied his mistakes." Now, what I would suggest to you is this: you go out again and you paint an original. Go now and try and paint an original. For you see, the original thing that you're looking at is perfect. And you're now painting something that is perfect. And they will know what you can do. Now apply that to what we're reading here. Down through Hebrews chapter 11, we have the record of men who ran the life of faith. They were in the course, all right. But I pointed out that while their mistakes are not mentioned in Hebrews 11, the fact is that every one of them made mistakes along the line. They were not perfect men. Now, if you and I are going to look at people who are imperfect, you can rest assured we also will make mistakes. That is, we shall copy their mistakes if we're looking at other people. That perhaps has been the great mistake that many of us have made. We have put our eyes at where we've set our sights on other people. We thought they were such great people, such good men, such good women, that we would imitate them. But unfortunately, we have also taken on their shortcomings and made the same mistakes as they made. Now, the writer here is telling us this: don't look at someone else's work. Get your eye on the original, the perfect thing. And the original here is Jesus. For he is the author, that is, he is the beginner, and he is the completer of faith. So therefore, set your eye on him, and you're not copying something that's imperfect. You're looking at the perfect example. He is the pattern life. He is the pattern for our life. So looking unto Jesus, he's the author and completer of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's there in all the perfection of his work and in all the perfection of his person. And he says, now consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds.